I'd like to bring the love of the Puget Sound class and also the Wenatchee class. I wanted their love sent, and I just couldn't help but think in this hymn we just sang. You know, I don't know if you do this, but I write brethren's names in the margins whose favorites they are, and this is my aunt's favorite, Esther Branch. That's Donna Ostrander's mother, and it just really brings back a lot of memories of this really dear sister. As we answer these questions, I'm going to defer to Brother Perry as to who would answer the questions. If I do it the other way, we'll be kind of odds at one another. So we're deferring to you as to who we might pick for answers to the questions, because you're bringing the mic around. That way you might not be running quite as much as you might otherwise be. So there's quite a number of questions here, and the intent wasn't to do them all in this hour, and but the intent is that we get to the questions that you desire to have answered, and so we really want, before we start, to ask the question, which of these questions do you want to specially cover? If there's any special ones that you don't want to miss, we want you to think about that and let us know either right now or after the first question. And so think about that a little bit. Right now we're set to, the ones with stars on it we'll definitely cover. That's number 5, number 6, and number 10. Actually, they're highlighted. Number 11, number 12, 13B, and L. These are highlighted, but it's kind of hard to tell on some of them. Number 15B. Okay, hopefully everyone got those. Went through them kind of quick. So, are there any others that the brethren don't want to miss? Yes?
Did you mention question 8?
No, I didn't, as a matter of fact. Question 8. We'll put a star by that one also. Any other questions?
18.
Okay. Oh, yes. That's a good one. Any others? All right, you guys can continue to think about that. And we'll start with question number 1. What is and what is not the object of prayer?
We'll take the second one first.
Okay.
Second part. We're not to call an Heavenly Father and tell him what his business is, you see. That's a short, because he knows all things and has created all things, and he's the father of all. So we don't come to him and try to direct him. The other part is we come to him for help, for goodness, for thankfulness, and that's the other side. So we have to be thankful for what we have. That's my thought of that. Okay, thank you.
Very good. There's a couple of really good points there, and I appreciate the thought that we're not telling him what to do. That's so common as far as nominal Christians go. And we don't want to be a part of that. And I think the other one you had here especially, and that's an opportunity to thank the Heavenly Father. This is an opportunity for that. Sister Kathy.
And when he says his prayer was generally acknowledged to be one of the finest ever offered to a Boston audience, that's what we don't want to be like. And then reprint 4983, the province of prayer is to ask for only such things as God has already declared himself well pleased to grant.
Very good. I like that quote too. So then maybe another one here to add to our list that's very important. And that, as Sister Kathy said, his prayer is really a means to ask and thus receive the things that the Heavenly Father has promised us. the things that he really wants us to have. And it's interesting. He by the use of prayer, then he really develops our hearts to desire and long for these spiritual things. And that means so to ask for and receive things the Heavenly Father has promised us. Yes. Sorry. Yeah, you're in charge of that part. Go ahead.
Well, I felt two things. First of all, to increase our faith in the Lord's Word, and secondly, to help us develop spiritually and gain the fruits of the Spirit.
Very good. Increase our faith. These are some of the very strong side effects. Effects, really. And thank you very much.
In the manna text for December 4th, Brother Russell mentions that the Lord's consecrated people could be brought to a point where the chief aim in life, the burden of all their prayers, would be that they might have a larger measure of the Holy Spirit. That they have a larger measure of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit of a sound mind.
Very good. So these are one of the things that we are to ask for and receive. That's the Holy Spirit, and we'll be getting into more of that later as well.
My understanding, or the way my mind went when I read the question, is the object of prayer is to gain entrance into the presence of the Lord. And in this, I think that that prayer is a time for a great reverence and humility and a holiness in thinking about who we are approaching and asking for all these things. And so it's to me, that's the object of prayer, to gain the presence, communion with the Lord.
Very good.
That's the way my mind went.
Well, I think that's an excellent thought. This thought of reverence and that increases in our hearts as we're before the Heavenly Father to gain this access to the Creator of the universe. Here is we have the opportunity to commune with. That's a wonderful thought. Thank you.
And one of the objects is that it's indispensable to our spiritual welfare. And another thing, it's to keep us from temptation, because the adversary sort of quakes when he sees a saint upon his knees.
Yeah, that's very good. Thank you very much. Last thought is very true.
Brother Steve and friends, I'll take the side of what we should not do
okay. In
praying to the Lord. Reprint 5480 through 5481 was very pronounced for me. It said that a Christian should not say prayers, but should pray. We should not think of saying even one word that we do not mean and have not sought out. And also, this is a beautiful thought. It says, praying is not conquering God's reluctance. It is laying hold upon God's willingness. And so those two points were very pronounced to me, so that we can truly realize that He is the giver of every good and perfect gift, and He's not reluctant to give us those things, but we must be in harmony with Him and ask Him in those particular circumstances what it is that we want according to His will.
That's very good. I appreciate that thought. That's a very strong thought. I think also the earlier one of just so many times ones will mention that they say their prayers. They're going to say their prayers. And it should grate on each one of us, because we're not saying our prayers, we're praying. And there's quite a difference. I appreciate the thought. Yes?
The brethren have been bringing out that we need to pray for what the Lord already wants us to have, and that's very true. But that implies study. We need to study in advance very carefully what the Lord would have us pray for, especially as Sister Realty was bringing out, in that particular circumstance we're in, so that we don't pray amiss and that we're more and more in heart harmony with the Lord's will. It's not just a random prayer. We have to prepare ourselves in advance so that we're praying for the right things, which are those things what the Lord wants us to have already. So.
That's very good. The study is very important in this. We can't know it without having studied it. Can't know what to ask for. I think maybe we'll ask for one more here, and we could actually cover the whole topic under this one question.
Well, prayer is the vital breath of the new creature, and we want that oneness. And so really it's the giving of our heart and mind into the heart and mind of our Heavenly Father, and when we have no will of our own.
Very good, and that's a very much of a part of it here, is the development of our own heart and mind to desire the things that He promised and to then ask for them that we might receive them. So, very good end note here. Along with these, I just wanted to mention some of the other effects. I think one brother touched on some of these, and that was like from the July 24th manna, quite a few of the effects. Increased confidence in the Lord's supervision of our affairs. Increased faith in the precious promises. Realization of His leadings, past and present. Increased love for the brethren. And then a couple more that were listed. Some of these are duplicates in the 4983. It's a means of unburdening our hearts when in deep affliction. Increases our realization of His loving care and wisdom. And it also is a means of increasing our strength and joy. So with that, we'll go to question two. Okay, question two. What is the full significance of asking in... Oh, I forgot. Are there any more of these questions that any would like to not miss, that you'd really like to cover? Yes, Brother Weber.
Number 10,
okay. All right.
Number 11. You already got it marked. You already got it marked. That's what, number 11. You already got it marked.
Okay. Yeah, we've got 10, 11, and 12 marked there. Very good, though. We'll help us to know that too. Okay. If not, we're going to go on to question two. What is the full significance of asking in Jesus' name?
Well, Pastor Russell brings out it means more than merely of, excuse me, by His authority. It means that the petitioner must realize his own actual unworthiness to be received, and therefore he presents it in the merit of Christ as ransomer. Excuse me if I misread this a little at the beginning, but we see that we must realize our unworthiness and that we're coming in the name of our Lord because He is the great ransomer. And our Heavenly Father provided this for all His people and for the world of mankind in the future.
Very good. Sister Gail up here has her hand up too.
Whenever I think of name, you know, in the scriptures, the name was usually indicative of someone's character. So asking in Jesus' character, that is, that He has a perfect character, perfect standing with the Father, so we ask in Him. That is, our standing is in Him and in Him only.
Very good. That's really interesting. Yeah. Very good.
When we ask in Jesus' name, we're glorifying the Father because He says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
So. Very good thought. Thank you.
Our remarks parallel Sister Frances' comments, so we'll pass. And it's based on John 15:16. I think that's what she had in mind.
John 15:16. Thank you.
And to say it in another way, we need an advocate. We need an attorney to plead our case. And we need that covering robe because God cannot deal with anything short of perfection. And He couldn't look at us or we couldn't talk to Him without Jesus' covering robe.
Very good. So here it is. It truly shows the recognition of our own unworthiness and fallen condition. And I think that's what you're saying. And it's only... through Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf that we have any standing before the Heavenly Father.
I think my comment's going to be so similar. Maybe I should also just kind of pass. I was very similar to what she said, that this is the only way we're accepted is through Jesus. So that's why we ask in His name. We're not accepted except by Jesus, you know, because of Him and His righteousness, which is what she said.
That's very good. And I think the repetition is good. Every time we come before the Heavenly Father, this should come streaming to our heart and mind to realize this, that we have no standing except for Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. So the repetition here is good too. Thank you. Yes?
I don't think anybody said this yet, but if they did, forgive me. The name of Jehovah in Exodus, was it 34, 5 through 7? It might have been where Sister Gail got her thought. Where the Lord Jehovah passed in front of Moses proclaiming His name, and it was mercy for thousands, etc., etc. It was a description of the divine plan. So we ask, and Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In other words, He is the personification of the principles and so forth that were laid forth by His Father and our Father, so that asking in Jesus' name is asking in accordance with the divine plan of the ages.
Very good. That's a really nice thought. I appreciate that. Thank you. And maybe one more here.
John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's a recognition that we do not have the right on our own to approach to the Father, that it must be done through that merit, right, or it has no value and will not be heard or accepted.
Very good, Brother Darts. Thanks for that scripture. There's other promises along this line. I don't know if they were all mentioned here. A few of them I see were. The other one, John 16:23, I don't think was. Whatsoever ye shall ask in the Father in my name, He will give you. There's quite a few along this line. I think John 14:13-14 also. Okay, maybe just one more here.
Also Ephesians 1:6, we are accepted in the Beloved.
Oh yeah. Very good, thank you. Now for question 3. In considering the promise in John 15:7, what does it mean to abide in Christ? What does it mean also to have Jesus' word abide in us?
I just mentioned the first part, or address the first part of this. What does it mean to abide in Jesus? I really appreciated this lesson, primarily from the reprint 4983 that you cited. It's one thing to come into Christ, and it's another to abide there.
Oh, yes.
You can't abide unless you're already there, and you stay there. I really appreciated that lesson. So it's one thing to make a consecration; it's another to live it for the rest of your life. And that's what it means to abide in Christ. I appreciated Brother Russell's comments here that it means that when we first make that consecration, we have a repentance for sin, for the wrong things that we've done. We want to do the right thing. We want to serve the Heavenly Father. And those attitudes have to continue with us, because our flesh is going to continue to be fallen. So we have to continually feel this sorrow for sin and a desire for the right things, a desire to honor the Heavenly Father. And if those attitudes continue in us, then it will produce the results that he talks about here. But I really appreciate that lesson.
Very good. I like the force of that thought. Thank you.
Yes. Brother Steve, in our studies, in our class, we considered the word abide, and it comes from the Strong 3306, and it means to stay in a given place, state, or relationship, you know, which ties in with what Sister Gail brought out.
Along with that, we were looking up the English word, and I'm not sure if maybe some of the other, you know, dictionaries, Greek dictionaries may do the same, but this English word means to reside also, and along with the other, which, you know, has the thought really of living it, or living in it, and it's just a remarkable thought. Sister Kathy.
I appreciated Brother Ed Grabner's discourse so much. And I appreciated one text that I didn't have in my notes that he brought out, and that was the Psalm 91 and verse 10. I guess it's verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation.
Very good. Thank you. All right. Now, what about the second part of this question? What does it mean to have Jesus' word abide in us?
Brother Steve, we were thinking that the application of the word stay there would be meaningful here, in that it's not just a matter of holding on to, but that residents are living there. They have to be active in us in order for us to be able to pray appropriately, as has already been pointed out in one of the previous answers.
Very good. It implies activity, and along with it, thank you. I've got two hands here.
Where?
Brother Bruce, I think, was first.
Oh, okay.
Make it hard on you.
Thanks, Brother Steve. Appreciate the thought behind having his words abide in us, thinking about his words as being his teachings. And so, when we first make our consecration, we understand those teachings, and, that's necessary to make that full consecration. But unless his words continue to abide in us, then we will not continue to seek to know and to do the Lord's will. And so that's very important, to keep doing the Lord's will.
So again, this thought of keeping to do these things, keeping these things, and I think it's really an increase. It really has to increase, not just keep, but towards the end of the walk, it must be much higher for us to make it, that understanding of his word and application.
The scripture that I would quote, if I could quote scripture, would be his words were found and I did eat them, or something like that, and abiding, his words abiding in me gives us that thought that we found his word and we took them and we ate them, so we lived them or abide in them. And I don't have the location of that scripture, and I'm sure I didn't even quote it totally properly, but it gives the thought.
That's very good. And if any of the brethren happen across that scripture as we're going along, I'd appreciate, I think it's in Jeremiah. But Sister Grabner up here.
I appreciate, Brother Steve, the order, too. It's first abide in Jesus, and then his words abide in you. So we have to, first of all, come into the proper condition of heart, and then we're ready to receive the instruction. It doesn't work the other way around.
Oh, that's good. Good thought.
And that continues. That same process continues. As you say, we grow, and so our hearts are become more and more conditioned in the right way. Now we're ready to receive more instruction. It's just the same idea, I guess, as a step of grace and a step of knowledge.
Very good. A very definite building process. Thank you.
One must have faith, repentance, and consecration. Our will must be wholly swallowed up in the will of Christ, and I really appreciate that, being wholly swallowed up, our will wholly swallowed up in the will of Christ. And one must search the scriptures to know the will of the Lord, to know what he may ask for, to know what God has promised and what he has not promised.
Thank you. I had to jot that phrase down. I really like it. Wholly swallowed up in the will of God, Christ.
Okay, I was thinking about abiding in Jesus. That's more of an individual abiding, abiding in us, I'm sorry, is an individual abiding, where abiding in Jesus, that's like in the anointing, that's a collective. And I kept thinking of volume 5, page 215, how God sees us collectively, Jesus as a unit, And so there we have to have our hearts right and be abiding in his word in order to be in the anointed. And Jesus can't present us until our hearts are right. He wouldn't do that.
Very good. Thank you very much. And I think this word would be better the first question, abide in Christ. I think that'd be a little more accurate. And one more, maybe, on this question.
This was just Sister Eleanor's scripture. That was the Jeremiah.
Great.
Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Jeremiah 15:16.
Jeremiah 15:16. Is that right? 15:16. Thank you. All right. Now for our next question. Considering Matthew 26:41, what do we watch and for what do we pray? Again, I thought this would probably be covered more in the discourse earlier. I didn't expect to spend much time on it, but it's kind of ironic, but anyway. So, any answers to this thought?
Well, I thought the manna for November the 3rd was really good, because Brother Russell points out all the various things we're to watch for, not only for the temptations that might come, but also for the good things from the Lord, the encouragements, the indications that we're going in the right way, chastisements, all sorts of things that we're to watch for, and that's all to be done in coordination with the prayer.
Very good. I appreciated that one as well. The thought of watching for the encouragements and evidences of fulfillment of prophecy. That's a really nice thought. Now, what about the scripture itself in Mark 14:38? Does anybody have that?
Oh, I don't know about that one, but
go ahead. That's fine.
What we're to watch for, especially ourselves, we are our worst enemy, and watch the devil for his snares, and watch for the worldly temptations, because they are tremendous in this world we live in.
Are for three major foes, then. And the scripture itself in Mark 14 says, watch ye and pray lest ye enter into temptation. Again, this, you know, striving to watch for temptation, strive to look for the Heavenly Father's will in each situation, because of the important points. I think with that, we'll continue to the next one. Number five. What are some important ways that we could pray amiss? Now, we've covered a little bit of this in question one. What are some important ways that we could pray amiss?
Well, selfish prayers are always detrimental to us, because not because the Lord doesn't always answer them, but because sometimes He does. And the end result can be that we get what we prayed for and it is very bad for us, and we thus end up sometimes having to have more trials and more experiences to bring us around to the point where we might have been had we not prayed improperly. You know, we could pray for a loved one to be healthier, but that could interfere with their walk. If we were to pray for, you know, material possessions or wealth, it could so interfere with our walk in the truth. You know, I know Brother Carl and I have seen this ourselves, and we have learned that praying only for the Lord's will is the best, because He truly does know. And when we think we know what we need and pray for it, we end up in more trouble.
Thank you very much. That's very true. And fortunately, we can learn from others along those lines. Can't make all the mistakes ourselves, like Brother Harry said.
Thinking before you pray. Ask for nothing, you know, not honorably to the Father's name, or that you interfere with His plan in any way. Not even ask for a loved one to be brought, to Him, or preach to the family, encourage him to find the Lord. Be very careful how you pray. Don't just jump in there with both feet. I mean, know what you're doing before you think. You know, think before you pray, because there's a lot more to praying than just like you said earlier.
Yeah, we're going before the God of the universe. We want to know what He wants, what He's looking for in our prayers, and His will to be done. Very good. Brother Clarence.
November, make sure I get it right, November 22nd, or let's go to February 22nd, it'd be even better. February 22nd, it says, let your conversation without covetousness and be count with such things as you have. So we shouldn't be pleased by Heavenly Father's providence has given us and not be only that's the thing that he hasn't put forth to us. So it says selfishness is what it is. Selfish prayers are very expensive because you won't get them answered. Okay.
Very good. Thank you, Brother Clarence. I guess over here.
From reprint 2005, I really appreciated the thought that Brother Russell brings out. He says, to ask for some good thing simply to make a test of it, thereby to establish our faith, is seemingly an improper request, for none but the faithful are promised anything. So we must have a strong amount of faith to receive these promises and to really appropriate them to ourselves and to ask Him in our petitions for these particular promises that He's already stated He would give us, and not to make a test of them, but to really believe them, and then they will be given.
Very good. That's a pretty interesting thought. I missed that.
A few
we're
verses
not to
from
Matthew
6:31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, "What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or whatever shall we be clothed with? After all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth what things knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven of God and His righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the tomorrow shall be take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof."
Very good. Along with that, the reprint 3665 says it would rather be unsafe if we think for any of the new creation to make requests for temporal things. Be unsafe.
We must be careful not to pray for someone we love to be included in the little flock. No matter how much we love them, we should encourage them to consecrate and let the Lord do the choosing.
Very good.
There's a sentence in reprint 2006 that I appreciated a lot. The pastor says, "We may not ask for anything to minister to pride or selfishness or ambition, nor anything which would injure another, nor anything which would conflict with the Lord's plan as revealed in His Word." And I thought that that pretty much summed it up.
Very good. I think that's a good one to end with. But we'll go for one more here. And,
okay. In praying, a certain self-examination, ask ourselves, why do I want it when we're praying? And that way we can see more our motives as to why we want it. Is it good for the new creature, or is it a miss?
Very good. Why? Maybe we'll go for one more. We had one hand in the back there. And I forgot here. You know, I was supposed to...
I wasn't going to bring this up. Sorry for making you run. No, I wasn't going to bring this up, but I apologize for my short memory, but I studied this. It was either Volume 2 or Volume 5 on prayer. On asking, sometime when you're praying, you're not quite sure what you're asking for. And you may ask in a certain way, and God will, the Lord will answer your prayer in His own way to suit you or to do His will for you in the way He feels best for you.
sometimes we, if I get the, I want to make sure I have, understand what you're saying here. I think your thought is you may go to the Lord and you may not even have the words to say what you desire.
You're looking for some way to ask us, and you're not really quite sure, but He knows what you're looking, what you're asking for, and He will answer that prayer. But He will not answer it the way you want it, but He will answer it the way He feels it best suits you and your spiritual development.
Right, very good. Thank you for the thought. I've been requested to have each of you state your name and ecclesia for the sake of the tape. And this came up to me about, must have been 15 minutes ago, or longer. And so if you might do that, it might be helpful. Okay, we'll move on to the next question, which is starred, and we're going to tend to head for those now. Question number 6. What should the burden of our prayers be for, and why? And we've touched on this a little bit already. What shouldn't the burden of our prayers be for, and why?
I'm Brother Borwick from Salem, Oregon. The burden of our prayers should be for the Holy Spirit, for the development of the graces in our character, for spiritual food, for refreshment and strength in the Lord.
Very good. That's a nice summary. Yeah.
Sister Grabner from Illinois. And just appreciating how the reason, of course, as Brother Ed mentioned, we pray for the Holy Spirit, but the reason is it is the power by which we receive and are able to attain to all other blessings. Everything comes through the power of His Spirit, the Holy Spirit of love. That is the power by which we attain all blessings for ourselves and for any others. No other blessings can come except by that means.
Very good. That's a good thought. Brother Perry.
Brother Perry Robinson, St. Louis, Missouri. Gratitude and expectancy. According to your faith, be it unto thee. So, for instance, when praying, have you ever prayed asking for forgiveness and 5 minutes later you still feel guilty, so you start to pray to forgive, asking forgiveness a second time, and I'll stop myself and say, Lord, I'm still thinking about this as a lesson, but I'm claiming your precious promise according to my faith, be it unto me, that you will, you have forgiven me when I asked the first time. So, but gratitude for everything that has been provided for us.
Gratitude, very good.
Brother Steve, Brother Bruce Keaton from Mahomet, Illinois, and another aspect that I appreciate about this. Why the burden of our prayer should be for the Holy Spirit is that we're not just filled one time. It's not that when we make a consecration we receive the Holy Spirit and that's it. It's a gradual thing. You know, we it's a part of our development that we gradually get more and more of the Lord's Spirit as we go on and develop. And so we should continue to pray for that. That's important.
Very good. And along this line, I think We more and more see the world and the contrast between that and Heavenly Father's character. We see the beauty of it to such an extreme that we long more and more to be like Him. And as time goes on, we can't help but ask to be like Him and ask more of His Spirit.
Sister Weber from the Antioch class, and we want to add to Brother Bruce's comments that being filled with the Holy Spirit is a progress, and one of the hymns is 256, Empty and Fill My Heart. Hymn 224, All of Thee. At the beginning we see ourselves, and we see little of God, and as we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, where we're being filled more with the Spirit, we must be emptied of self, be seeking to do more of the Heavenly Father's will. And I have another comment for the next question. Thank you so much.
Okay. I think we'll move on to number 7. I think a few have been mentioned already here in number 7, but we want to touch on it at least. And what are a few other things that the Scriptures admonish us to pray for? We see, again, predominantly for the Holy Spirit. Now, what are a few other things we are to pray for?
James 1:5.
Okay.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto you. And so we want wisdom to know what to ask for in all things. This is from Salem, Oregon.
Thank you for wisdom.
I'm Sister Bonnie Bennett from Antioch. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you.
Very good. Very important for our enemies.
We're on question 7, brother.
Yes, question number 7.
Sister Weber, one of the scriptures, Luke 17:5, Lord, increase our faith. And we step back to volume 6 on page 113. He says, the faith with faith which God now seeks in his people is precious in his sight and marks a small, peculiar class. Therefore, he has placed such a premium or reward upon it. And we see it says in the next paragraph, the Lord puts the premium upon faith, saying, according to thy faith be unto thee. This is a victory which overcometh the world, even your faith. So we see this is a blind faith at this time. The world will actually see things going on in the world, and there will not be the blind faith, but this is what we have now, and that's why the Lord put such a premium on it.
The world will have direct sight. We have evidences, and it takes faith.
Brother Robert Bennett from Antioch. Sister Dorothy beat me to the Luke 17:5, but I'd like to add Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive others.
Very good. The importance of asking for forgiveness of sin, along this line, Hebrews 4:16 as well.
Sister Rosemary Wojcik from Salem, Oregon. This scripture in Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:1, exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. And the reason for praying for them is that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I like that.
Very good. And also it prepares our hearts so we're not spending our time evil speaking concerning the rulers that be as well.
Sister Rosalie Palmgren from the Puget Sound Ecclesia. I'll answer part of this with a text from James 5:16. It says, confess therefore your sins one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working.
Very good. A very important one. Pray for one another.
I'm thinking of the hymn 321, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. We should take everything to the Lord in prayer, and our heaven and the Lord Jesus will, he makes intercession for us. But, you know, all our sins and griefs to bear. That's why our days can be so heavy, because we try to work these things out. I apply this to myself. But this is human nature, is to want to work things out ourselves. So everything, I think, we should take to the Lord in prayer. And if we have special petitions, we examine those motives. But he is to be with us daily. He is our friend. And the Heavenly Father, they're just like the same, you know, that oneness. But we need that prayer continually in every decision. If I can just always keep that in mind, that's all.
Very good. Especially here, I think the thought of taking our burdens, and as well as every other item there on our heart to him in prayer. Thank you.
Just a little bit more with regard to praying for the brethren. I really appreciated this lesson. When I first consecrated, I really had a hard time with this. It wasn't that I didn't want to pray for the brethren. I was puzzled over it. But was the Lord going to change his plans, or he wasn't going to do for my brethren if I didn't pray for them, or how is that supposed to work? And I really appreciated this lesson from the question book reference about Peter. and how he was freed from prison in response to the prayers of the brethren on his behalf. He was freed not because of his own prayers, but for those of others. And Brother Russell's comment was that it wasn't that the Lord wasn't going to set him free anyway, but because the brethren had prayed and were in that, they were in the right attitude of heart to appreciate the lesson even more. And that goes back really to our first question, the whole reason we pray in the first place, so that we can put our hearts in the right condition. It's the prayer is the exercise of our faith muscle. And so it gives us a chance to develop more along that line. It's for our blessing, not for the Heavenly Father, because He needs it, but because we do. So I really appreciate that lesson, that we could, that's a way that we can keep our minds on the brethren, and then when the Lord directs and we have opportunities for service or whatever, then we're alert to those opportunities. It doesn't really change anything except what happens in our hearts. The prayer, I mean.
Very good, and it starts being outward instead of inward. It's more, you know, towards others, and what a blessing that realization makes somewhere in our walk, usually. Yes, Brother Perry.
Sister Gail made me think of a Brother Perry Robinson, St. Louis, still. There's a reprint titled Deliverance in Answer to Prayer, and it's about James and Peter that were in prison together. James was beheaded, Peter was released. Which one was delivered? That's an interesting thought. I won't go into that. But what the pastor says there, we appreciate it. And not to negate what Sister Gail just said, and the fact of, you know, does God change His plans in answer to our prayers? Sometimes no, sometimes yes. And that was an interesting concept. Apparently, according to the pastor, our Heavenly Father has enough latitude in His plan. Certain things are fixed. Chronological points are fixed. A lot of things are fixed. But how powerful and how high, His ways are higher than our ways, to have latitude in there that there are several different ways to get from here to there. And so, you know, maybe it would go this way, but if we ask for it to go that way, in the Heavenly Father's omnipotent wisdom and power, yeah, you can get there from here. You know, we could answer that prayer. You can go that way if you want, or you could go this way. It doesn't matter. You're gonna, so that there are certain things that are fixed and certain things where the Heavenly Father has latitude to answer our prayers in response to our faith for the asking. So I thought that was kind of interesting. You might look it up. It's a reprint entitled Deliverance in Answer to Prayer.
Very good, thank you. I think also that the timing of it may change too. He's able to, at times, not change, but there's a possibility that it can work at a different time or in a different, slightly different way, but the same end, and several articles along that line.
Yeah, Brother Steve, Larry Roberts from the Antioch Ecclesia. I think of Jesus' prayer, not my will, but thy will be done. So I'm learning more and more that to never end a prayer without asking for the Lord to overrule anything that's amiss in my prayer, and that the Heavenly Father's will be done.
Very good. I think in the interest of time, we're going to have to move on, but we'll catch Sister Kathy here first.
Just in our class, Sister Kathy from Puget Sound Bible Students, just from our class experiences, I really appreciated the privilege of prayer when we discuss which topics we're going to vote on, you know, when we vote on which topics we're going to study. And I think it's so important that we, because as a class, I don't know if how the other classes go about this, but we submit topics and then we think about it for a week and then we come back and we pray about it and then we come back and decide and vote in the class. And I just am really coming to the conclusion how important that is. We have to pray for those things because you never know what that study is going to prepare you for in class experiences even or personal experiences. And I think it's so important to determine those topics with prayer and determine the Lord's will in the matter.
Very good. We have been impressed with that also. Thank you. We're going to move on now to the starred ones, and then we can also return at a later time to the others if we have time. So it looks like the very next one's a starred one, right? Or a highlighted one. number 8. Why is it necessary to be persistent in prayer? And we've got a couple hands up back here. Okay.
Well, certainly not because the Lord's going to forget what we asked for. If we are praying for something such as more patience, more faith, we are going to get more lessons in this. But it is necessary for us to continue to ask for these things that we know we need, these spiritual gifts, so that we will not forget what it is we need.
Okay, so can we catch your name? I'll catch your name in a
question. I'm sorry, Sister Lauren Rose from San Marcos, California.
Thank you very much. All right, who'd like to be next? Quite a few hands.
Brother Alan Ross, the Antioch Ecclesia. One reason is that it reveals to God the strength of our desire for what we seek, and it also develops the character attribute of perseverance in us. See, that's an important thing.
Very good. Strength of our desires. Does anybody have any quotes along that line? As well, but feel free to not have to answer that question, by the way, if you've got a comment.
Brother Robbie from the Antioch Ecclesia. And you're talking about reprint quotes or scriptural quotes?
Either one.
Well, I have, I don't know what reprint is from, but it says, God wishes us to be persistent, and our persistence measures and indicates the depth of our desires. And then it says, God may withhold a promised blessing with a view to our becoming the more earnest in seeking it. That was from Brother Russell's comments in his reprints, but I didn't mark the reprint down.
Very good. Thank you.
28, reprint 2865.
2865. Okay, thank you.
Sister Rosemary, I have an article from Brother Daniel Toole in which he says his topic was reserved mercies, favors, and blessings to be given in response to prayer. And he gives some examples, and one was when Moses prayed for Miriam, and he said to God, heal her now, O Lord, I beseech thee. And so he did. He gave her 1 week of this leprosy, and then he healed her. But he persisted in the prayer and said, you know, beseech the Lord to heal her.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Well, thank you, Brother. It's Sister Weber from Antioch Ecclesia, and the reprint is again 2865, and the pastor's bringing to our attention about Jacob prevail to obtain the coveted blessing. And how do you do this? By manifesting the zeal, the energy, the patience, and the faith which God is pleased to reward. So we see that this is a great blessing for us and a good lesson. Zeal, energy, patience, faith.
Yeah, Jacob really hung on to this angel, didn't he? And he really desired the blessing. And that whole night long had a hold of this angel. And it certainly is an example of desiring what the Lord has for us. Certainly a wonderful example. Thank you. Yes.
Sister Loy Hansen from Oregon. I appreciate it so much. And we think, why is it necessary to be persistent in prayer? In the question book, the pastor says, the Lord's people who have not learned the power of prayer are weak Christians. That's pretty strong, I thought. And so the scriptures everywhere encourage the Lord's people to pray always, to be in the spirit, the attitude of prayer at all times, and full of thanksgiving to God. So that just really struck me that the Lord's people who have not learned the power of prayer are weak Christians. So for sure, it's very, very important and necessary that we be persistent in prayer.
Very good. Sister Millie.
Oh, just a few scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing, and Romans 12:12 tells us to be continuing instant in prayer, and Ephesians 6:18 says praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
Very good. Some very good scriptures on that. There's one more quote here. It's in reprint 3662. I don't think it's been mentioned. It's certainly Nehemiah. He'd prayed for 4 months. And it says, Though it should be with all of the Lord's people of spiritual Israel, the things which we have only a slight desire for, we may mention once or twice at the throne of grace. But those things which lie at the very, very close to our hearts become our continual prayer. So we should ask ourselves, you know, what are we asking for every day? And that should tell us what is very close to our heart, hearts and minds. So I think it's a very sobering thought. Maybe one more on this question, and I saw a hand up someplace.
Brother Steve, I have a couple thoughts. First, from reprint 5311, I'll just read what Brother Russell says. It says, by coming to the Lord with regularity and prayer, they are enlisting the best qualities of their own minds. Thus, the new creature is using the highest faculties of the old nature to wean the old creature from the natural habits which he had cultivated through weakness of the flesh. The new creature, making use of the higher organs of the brain, makes progress in character structure and in the Lord's service. And also, as it states in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Just as we pray continually for the kingdom to come, that will be in God's due time, in his season, for all the world of mankind to be raised and perfected. And so we have to acknowledge that continually in our prayers, because that's our desire for all mankind.
Very good. How important is our desire, or how much do we desire the kingdom? How much do we desire the blessing of God's works in the earth right now that he's doing right now? Do you need to switch the tapes or anything at this point?
Might have a couple of more minutes.
Couple more minutes? Okay.
Okay, we better flip this one.
Along with this, we're going to skip the next question, but we know that James 4:2 says, ye have not because ye ask not. There's things that are withheld until we ask. I think that's very important. We need to ask for those things. And I think with that, we'll continue with question 10. Okay, we switched? Okay. Question number 10. In searching our own heart, how can we distinguish whether we're truly worshiping God in spirit and in truth, or whether we are drifting toward worshiping with mere lip service? Any thoughts on this?